And let me pray for us. Lord Jesus, as you spoke to Peter, as you called him out towards you, so we pray that we would hear that same invitation tonight, and you would give us what we need to respond. In your name, amen. What would you guess, if you don't know, is the most common command in the Bible? Don't shout it out if you know the answer. But if you don't know the answer, what would you guess is the most frequent, the most common command in Scripture? It's not for us to be more loving, although obviously that is at the core of God's desire for you and me. It's not for us to have faith or to believe, although again that is central to the message of the Bible. It's not a command for us to be holy or pure or to act with integrity, as common and frequent as those commands are. The single command in Scripture that occurs more often than any other, God's most frequently repeated instruction, consists of two words. Fear not. Modern translations, do not be afraid. Fear not. Be strong and courageous. I am with you. I will never leave you. Do not be afraid. And we see it in the words of Jesus in the passage this evening, verse 27. Jesus said to them, take courage. It is I. Fear not. As Joy said earlier, we're following a series over the summer holidays, morning and evening, on the life of Peter. So different sermons, morning and evening, across the however many Sundays it is, 10 Sundays, I think, the life of the Peter. So this morning, we looked at the call of Peter in Luke chapter 5. Peter in a boat on the edge of Lake Galilee, a miraculous catch of fish, and then Peter and his companions pull their boats up on the shore, they leave everything, and they follow him. And this evening, Peter is back in a boat, despite having pulled it up and left it. He's back in a boat, this time in the middle of the lake, and then he's out of the boat, and he's walking on the water, and then he's sinking into the water. And we're looking at this passage tonight, and we're not thinking, what does this passage tell us about who Jesus is? Although, that would be a very good question to ask of this passage, but we're thinking particularly, what does this passage tell us, teach us about what it means to follow Jesus? What do we learn here about discipleship, about following Jesus from Peter, perhaps his most famous disciple? Take courage, says Jesus. It is I. Don't be afraid. And I want to say three things, three essential parts of growing as a disciple, as a follower of Jesus. Faith, fear, and failure. Faith, fear, and failure. So firstly, faith. If you read the Bible commentaries on this passage, as I have, Bible commentaries have differed down the ages, in fact, over what this account of Peter and his water walking teaches us. So one of the early church fathers, St. Chrysostom, in the early 5th century, says this passage serves as a positive example of Peter's devotion and his love, his impetuous love for his Lord. On the other hand, the church reformer, I suppose about 1,000 years later, John Calvin, saw this passage much more negatively. He said, we see in this Peter as a warning to us of the dangers of over-rashness and foolish risk-taking. So what is Peter here? Is he a positive or a negative example of following Jesus? And I think as we read this passage, Peter is a positive example of someone of faith, or at least an example of someone growing in faith. Perhaps that's the important thing. Someone growing in faith. Even if at the end it is only a little faith, even if ultimately it's not enough faith, still the fact remains that Peter had enough faith to climb out of the boat. Verse 28, 29. Lord, says Peter, if it is you, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. Some of you might have read, probably many of you have read, from interesting to see who's got it on their shelf and who's read it. the book by John Ortberg. If you want to walk on the water, you've got to get out of the boat. If you haven't read the book, you don't need to. It's all in the title. It's a great book, there's a lot more in it, but that is, that's it. If you want to walk on the water, you've got to get out of the boat. Do read the book, it's got more in it than that, but that's its message in one very good title. And that's what Peter does. The disciples are out in the boat, the wind and the waves are crashing around them, the boat's being tossed up and down, and they see a figure walking towards them across the water, and they are terrified. Who or what is this? And the voice comes, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. And that middle sentence of those three short sentences, it is I, in fact, is literally, I am. It's just two words, I am. And if you think of the whole story of the Bible, that takes you right back to the book of Exodus. When Moses says to God, when he appears to him in the burning bush, who am I to say you are when I go back to the Israelites? And God says, tell them, I am. The name for God, I am who I am. And here's this mysterious figure, who or what, walking across the waves. Take courage, I am. Do not be afraid. And Peter has the faith to ask this figure for a command. Lord, if it is you, then tell me to come to you on the water. And this is a request that surely demonstrates faith. Peter reasons that if this really is Jesus, he's seen enough of Jesus to know that he can be trusted. And if Jesus is who he really says he is, I am, then he's worthy of Peter's faith. And perhaps Peter can't be sure of this at this stage, can't be sure, but he takes a risk. And so in the middle of the storm, he climbs out of the boat and he steps onto the water. I'm sure you've heard the saying before that faith is spelt R-I-S-K. That's risk, in case you can't spell. Faith is spelt R-I-S-K. Faith is not hedging your bets, but taking a risk. And Jesus is looking for followers who will risk it all. One day, risk their lives for him. And that's what Peter does here. He's just in this passage, he's a baby disciple. And he risks his life for the first time. But he will be called to do it again and again as he continues to follow Jesus. In fact, one day he will lay down his life, risk it totally. And Peter could surely have waited for a better time. If it had been me, then I would at the very least have waited until the waves had died down a bit, for more favorable conditions, for flat water. You're going to learn, you know, when your child learns to ride a bicycle, you don't send them out in the middle of a storm with the wind, you wait for a good day. Peter could have waited for a better day for water walking. But the call of Jesus is now. Come, says Jesus. There will always be a better time. We could always be more resourced. We could always do a bit more research. We could always be a bit more ready. The Christian band Jars of Clay have a song called Faith Enough. And it's about a faith that takes risks. The kind of faith your parents wouldn't want you to have, if you like. Listen to the lyrics. This is why. The lyrics go like this. The ice is thin enough for walking. The rope is worn enough to climb. The storm is wild enough for sailing. The bridge is weak enough to cross. It's called Faith Enough. It's about a faith that takes risks to go out on the thin ice, to walk across the weak bridge. How is God calling us? How is God calling you? Are you waiting for a better time? A less risky time? Because if so, you might be waiting forever. Let Peter serve as an example of risky faith to you. That's the first thing, faith. Secondly, fear. Because along with faith comes fear. I said earlier that one of the most frequent commands in the Bible is fear not. Do not be afraid. And why is that? Well, why is this, of all the commands that there could be, why is that the most repeated command in Scripture? It's not that fear is a kind of deadly sin. I'm not even sure it is a sin at all. But it seems to be there in the Bible so often, because throughout the story of the Bible, God keeps scaring people. And then he doesn't just scare them, but he asks them to do scary things for him. It's this kind of double scariness. God scares people, and then he tells them to do scary things. And we see it exactly here. Jesus terrifies the disciples by walking to them on the water. I am. And then he calls Peter to do this very scary thing. So again and again in the Bible, God has to keep saying, don't be afraid of me or of what I'm about to ask you to do. Because it's always fear that holds us back, or if you like, drags us down, or keeps us rooted to the spot. Fear is paralyzing. And Peter is, after his good beginning in this passage, ultimately overwhelmed by his fear. Verse 30, if you look at it. But he said it's a very good beginning. He's climbed out of the boat. He's walking along. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. And you might say that Peter sinks as much into his fear and anxiety as into the waves around him. He's overwhelmed by fear. And if you choose to follow Jesus, he will call you to do some scary things. In fact, one good way to discover Jesus' will, this isn't the only way, but one good way, is to ask, what am I scared of? What am I scared of? And I don't mean bungee jumping or cave diving or anything like that, but when you think of following Jesus, what scares you? And where do you need to hear the command, fear not, be strong and courageous? Because the answer to that question may give you some indication of how and where Jesus is calling you. And that brings me to my final point, because one of our biggest fears is failure. And we see in this passage Peter's faith, and we see Peter's fear, and we see Peter's failure. Verses 30 to 31, he saw the wind, he was afraid, it beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me, and immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You have a little faith, he said. Why did you doubt? And the question I want to ask at this point is, did Peter fail? Did Peter fail? Because in one sense, of course, yes, he sank. He had to be rescued. And Jesus, There's a scolding in his words. He scolds him for his lack of faith. It's kind of a kindly scolding, it sounds to me, but nevertheless, he there's a rebuke there for Peter. Did Peter fail? Yes. But there were 11 bigger failures back in the boat. Peter had failed publicly and dramatically. And we are still, poor Peter, talking about this 2,000 years later. They failed quietly and unnoticed and privately, rooted to their seats in the safety of the boat. Over the last 7 years, each one of our four children, and my four children, have learnt to walk. They start off crawling, and then they do this thing called cruising, which is a technical term for children, which means they go around the room holding on to everything. Then you can get quite far, actually, doing that. Hold on to the sofa, and then you can sort of leap to the chair, and you can go make quite a long way, but then at some point, they let go. And then they fall over. And it involves a lot of falling. In fact, I read in the newspaper this week how many, I've forgotten the statistic, but how many falling over, how much falling over it takes for a child to learn to walk. When Ellen and my children fell over, we didn't count them as failures. And we never once concluded that they weren't cut out for walking. Each one went from a baby to a toddler. And being a toddler involves toddling, and it's very wobbly. And Peter is a water toddler, if you like, or a faith toddler. He's got a wobbly faith, but he's learning to walk by faith, to trust, and to risk. And who do you think learned, or who do you think grew most from this experience? The 11 in the boat, or Peter out on the waves? Peter is growing, and in part through failure. If you turn over the page to chapter 16, you'll see, just so only two chapters later, Peter declares this great declaration of faith, a declaration of faith in who Jesus is. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then immediately he falls over. Never, Lord, not you. You will not die that way. And he's rebuked. Get behind me, Satan. Later, he denies his Lord. In Acts, we find him boldly and courageously proclaiming the good news about Jesus. But then in Galatians, we find that Paul has to rebuke him, just like Jesus rebuked him, because he was wrong, in error. We find him then again being persecuted for his faith, eventually martyred for it, tradition, as you know, on a cross, upside down. Peter was someone who grew in faith, courageous faith, and in part, well, not repeatedly, through failure. Sir Edmund Hillary, the first person to climb Mount Everest, as you know. But before he climbed Mount Everest, he had several unsuccessful attempts, failures. He didn't get to the top. On one occasion, he stood before the mountain, Mount Everest, and he shook his fist at it. And he said, I'll defeat you. I'll defeat you because you are as big as you are going to get. And I'm growing. And part of growing in faith is courage to fail. And to pick yourself up, or better, to be picked up by Jesus. Peter does not fail alone. He's out there on the water, hand in hand with Jesus, side by side on the adventure of faith. Whereas the other 11 who are supposedly safe in the boat, if you like, they're more alone. Who do you think grew most from this experience? So faith, fear, and failure in response to Jesus' call, come. How is Jesus calling us? How is Jesus calling you? What is the boat he's asking you to climb out of? And as I said earlier, I don't know the answer to that question, but a good question for you to ask is, what am I afraid of? But all this starts, as we finish, with Peter's request for an opportunity. I skipped over that bit. Peter says, verse 28, Lord, if it is you, tell me to come to you on the water. Peter asks for this opportunity to exercise his faith. If it's you, then please ask. And that is a bold request and a scary one. My parents told me of a lady of great faith they'd heard of in their church, who towards the end of her life was asked whether or not she had, or what regrets she had as she looked back over her life. And she said this: "I wish I'd prayed scarier prayers." I think that's brilliant. "I wish I'd prayed scarier prayers." So what if we prayed this scarier or scary prayer? Perhaps with the sun, perhaps the week ahead, the summer ahead, a prayer for an opportunity for us to grow in faith by stepping out of the boat as Jesus invites us. Let's pray. So, Lord, we ask you for the opportunity for us to grow in faith. And we ask that for us as a church here at St. Nick's. We ask that for us as a congregation here at the Six. We ask that for each one of us present here tonight. We ask for the opportunity for us to grow in faith. Call us, we pray, to do scary things for you. We thank you that you are with us, that as we step out of the boat, we are not alone. You are with us in our successes and our failures. And would we be those who continually grow on this adventure of faith? And we pray this in your name. Amen.